And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 152.
152.
152, where are you? My name is Silas Lindenstein.
My name is Samantha Rund.
And this is Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. We're here again, weekly episode. No guests today. Samantha and I have a lot to talk about, though.
The time flies by. Children's books that we love or possibly hate
because of racism. We talk about Texas because of racism.
Also really not because of that.
No,
we just talk about it because it's a big state with some big news.
Big news, big state.
That's right.
And then we talk about wanted to break down some audition stuff. So if you're looking at auditions. We'll talk about some fun audition experiences that I've had or my thoughts on auditions. Unless you're a casting director, you can skip that part. I'm pleasant to work with. very gentle. I love you. Thank you for calling me in. I appreciate all the hard work.
Yeah. I love that you said you appreciate all the hard work. Like, it's especially hard for them to dial your number.
It's hard work to have to look at my headshot over and over again.
Oh, boy.
I appreciate that. I sold my, I was like, oh, my headshot photographer, David Hogan. I was like,
yeah.
My God, the fact that you'll just have to stare at my face for so long to edit this. And get that pimple off my nose.
I gotta.
Now the pimple's gone, of course, right?
Amazing.
Now that I'm not paying somebody to take pictures of me,
they just show up that way.
Nothing to edit. So,
it wanted its day in the spotlight.
It's like
too.
It's a guarantee that I'll need touching up, right? Because I was like, it costs this much for however many touched up photos I want, right? I'm like, I won't need a touched up photo, whatever, it'll be fine. Then of course get the big pimple and you're like, crap, I need the touched up photo.
Yeah. And it's usually good to do just a little something. If you didn't have the pimple, they could have added it for you. You know what I like to do now with the headshots though for the new stay at home season? Paint by number headshots. It's like a gift. it's a gift from me to you, you know?
Paint by number?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My headshot. I sent it out. I got a paint by number set. So they get to choose what season they like to see me in. And at the end of the day, it's a good experience for all of us.
Well, it's a way to do it. Make them work. Cassie, I'm pleasant to work with. Hey, folks, if you're enjoying the show, please go rate this on iTunes and leave a comment. Black and a Half. I mean, you know the name of it. It's on your phone right now. Probably. I mean, I don't know how else you'll listen to this. What? Siri? Actually, I do know someone who listens to us on Spotify.
Oh, cool.
And they like saying it on their Alexa. They say, play Black and a Half. And it does.
I like it. That's fun.
I do kind of love that.
Yeah.
Do that. And if you give a 5-star rating, and of course, if you a real big fan of the show, you can become a Patreon member. You can go to patreon.com/ Black and a Half and join the League of Extraordinary Listeners for as little as $1. Or you can join the Inner Circle members for just a little bit more. I think it's like $5 or $6. I don't remember. But it's join that. And you get, you become an Inner Circle member like Tara Widener, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. Yeah, you get it. So become one of them. Become one of them. Join it. Join the dark side. Join the Black and a Half side. That's what you got to do. Patreon.com/Black and a Half. This show today is brought to you by one of our sister podcasts. I host another podcast called You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, where I, Silas Lindenstein, with Boutique Brokerage here in Seattle, takes you step by step on how to buy a home. Wherever you are in the country, I can help teach you how to buy a home on that wonderful podcast. And if you live in the area, I can even help you buy a home in person. That's like 3D. It's also brought to you by
3D. I was on that 3D comment. It's also brought to you by Beyond Technique with me, Samantha Ron. That is also a podcast. Please feel free to check out wherever you listen to your podcasts or on YouTube. That one centers around the many ways that performance can enhance our lives by helping us be in touch with more of our whole selves and voice, body, and mind. This last episode I dropped has on actor and former Marine Hiram A. Mary, who's been in a ton of stuff. Super interesting. Talks about communication, all sorts of good stuff you can apply to your life, whether or not you're an actor. And then, of course, if you're looking for a coach to help you with performance skills, communication skills, be more of your whole self, that voice, body, mind connection, you can always reach me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com. Happy to help however I can.
And that's those podcasts.
Yep.
But this is this one. So please open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 152, The Yodeling Yoo-Hoo.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
Can we talk about auditions?
Oh my gosh, you read my mind. I almost got a hand modeling gig.
Whoa.
After I was talking to you the other day of being like, I miss auditioning. I don't feel like myself entirely because I miss miss that stuff.
Yeah.
I actually reached out to my agent and I was like, it looks like the spike might be going down. Maybe if there's something I'd be good for, they're okay with me being all big and Prager's right now. Let me know. And then she's like, actually got a hand modeling thing. Send me some pictures of your hands. So I was like, okay. And then I got placed on hold for it, but I didn't get it.
Your hands are on hold.
Yeah. I got good hands.
And then were you like, yo, I can't cook dinner tonight. These things got to be perfect. You're cooking.
Actually, it's funny. I did think about that. I was like, okay, be extra careful with everything you're doing today. Yeah.
What did you do? Like, when you audition with your hands, do you think ever, I got an MFA for this?
No. Ever,
I think of my student loan. Every time that happens, I go, I can't believe, like, the biggest one was when I was auditioning to open a box, and that's what they were filming. I got a babysitter. I took 2 hours off of, I stopped driving, I was a Lyft driver at the time.
Yeah.
I took like an hour before, cause I don't want to miss the audition. I get there, I park, I go in there, and then I open a box like two or three times, and then got out, and then I was ready to go back to work. That is the stuff that drove me mad time to open a box. And I was like, really? And now with Zoom, I'm like, they better not ever, like, why never call me in again to open a box. Please don't make me set time away. Let me just, can that please just be an audition from home?
Well, it's obviously best when it's most convenient for us.
How about for everybody? Everyone. I mean,
everybody.
I mean, think about the opening a box. Like, oh, you could have told me in the sheet how the different ways you would like me to open the box.
Yeah, right? But they might want you in the room to get like a sense of who you are and who they're going to be on set with all day.
Really?
No, I'm saying they might.
Charming. I'm going to be charming.
Yeah, but I mean, you get stuff off of people's energy. It's different in real life. I mean, I'm not saying I want to drive an hour to do like, I'm not saying I want to drive an hour, wait half an hour and then do like a 2 minute audition. And then drive back. Like that's a big chunk out of the day. But I think You know, like your beginning question of do I ever get frustrated? I think when I first got out of school, I got frustrated, but now I don't, because it's just, it's, I don't like, each thing that you do requires a different part of your skill set, and not everything is going to be like an Oscar worthy performance. And it's surprisingly getting people to do a simple activity is surprisingly like not that easy. Like, you think it's easy.
I think if you could, but I think if you could record it at home, you can show that you're able to do it.
Well, yeah, you definitely, no, I mean, I'm saying, yeah, I agree. I'd much rather just, you know, save my time, send a short video in, and then get booked off of that than be inconvenienced by like figuring out all it's the scheduling and this, that, and the other thing.
It's brutal. Like, when they talk about, when we talk about comics being, not misused, but I guess I feel like there's so many things that when I audition, I feel like.
Did you just have like an audition this week that made you think of that or something?
I did have an audition to talk about auditions, but no, my audition was, you know what stinks? I never think I'm that good of an actor unless I'm auditioning. And then I'm like, I nailed that.
Good for you.
Nailed that.
Good for that confidence. But then I'm
like, why don't I get it booked? Because I don't think, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I'm as good as I think I am auditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, no, I got that. Like, that should be enough, right? I think I'm, because I know my friend Nicole, friend of the program, co-host sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, Nicole.
She tells me, she's talked about this, she just does them over and over again. Like, she's very particular about her audition. You know, and I'm,
what do you mean over and over again?
Like, the audit, because they're a video at home. She's like, it's wonderful because of the convenience, but she will do that audition over and over until like, she feels like it's perfect. And I'll do one a couple times and be like, oh, that's good. I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're looking for. I actually like this one because, it was the first one I'd gotten that said, do it once this way, moving toward this, and then do it this other opposite way, moving toward this direction. And I was like, oh, thank you. You gave me, because that's what it would be at an audition, was like, first play it sad and then play it defensive. Right.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Oh, I know what they're, I get what they're going for. I like this. I like getting direction in the notes. And show the dude two different ways I could do it. I did appreciate that.
Yeah.
I didn't get it, I think, because I would have heard by now. But I liked it. It's impossible. Like, I will also, like, I think maybe I convinced myself it had to have been good enough because I have to go. Because I don't have enough time.
Well, it's good that you have, like, you're feeling confident. I promise I'm listening, but I just remembered I forgot to look something up regarding our podcast.
Like our reviews.
I was just like, oh wait, did anybody comment to tell us from last week? No.
Look.
Anyways.
Yeah. So I'm out there auditioning. I want people to know that I'm available.
And you guys, listeners. You know, my hands, my feet, the rest of me does the acting too. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever done a radio drama or radio play?
Anything? Radio play? No, I don't think so.
I really want to do one.
Yeah, I know. I was supposed to. I was on your case about it, and then I stopped. Now I should be on your case about it again.
The right one.
Make it happen. Make it happen.
Oh, then effort. You're right. Look, I do want to do it. I'm actually probably going to start feeling really inspired because shows are coming back on TV. Uh-huh. Like, all the quarantine sets have revved up and they got new stuff coming out. And when I'm looking at content, when I'm watching shows I like, I get more excited and I start writing.
That's true, but there has also been like a lot of shows out that you haven't watched because you don't like you prefer watching films more than TV.
No, that's wrong.
I've been watching so many shows over quarantine. I watch so many
shows all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I watch too many shows. Okay. If anything. Walking Dead's back with 6 episodes.
Like your favorites are back. Or like the shows that you're...
The new one, there's a new show called Superman and Lois. It's about Superman and Lois Lane.
Lois Griffith?
It's different, but it's such a different story than you're used to. This is about, like, he has kids. They have kids. They've been married for a while, like, well, that's for nice. 15 years. And, like... I'm really fat. People nerding out who may be into it that listen, like the show Supergirl just had an episode where they did these crisis episodes where they suddenly were going to have twin babies. And then this is 15 years after that. And so I don't know where this takes place, if it takes place in that world or if this is a multiverse that we don't know about. I don't know. It's like, so I'm fascinated by what's going on in it because I think Lex Luthor's black too. And that's crazy. So I want to know who he is because his name's Captain Luthor. Oh, anyway, that's how I knew the show at all because somebody was like, is Lex Luthor black? And I was like, oh, it's on. It started. Oh my God. I got to record it. Flash starts tonight as a recording date or so last week. Guys, Flash came out. So there's shows to watch and I'm really excited.
No, I get it. I get it. There are shows that you watch that the new seasons didn't come out yet that like you're excited that it's back on track.
I mean, I get excited for new things I haven't ever heard of, like The Stewardess on HBO Max. That's watch the first episode of that. That is delightful.
Is it?
Oh, it's so dark.
Oh, really?
So dark humor.
Interesting. I started watching Tell Me Your Secrets on Amazon Prime.
Tell Me Your Secrets.
Yeah, that was recommended. Because I finished Behind Her Eyes. I think so. I think it is. It's like one season's out. It's interesting also.
Mm-hmm. I will be watching I Care a Lot. It's the film about guardianship. The woman just won Best Actress at Golden Globe for the film.
Oh, wow.
So, cool. And I had already wanted to see it. So I'm like, yep, it's my jam. I'm going to go see that on Netflix. Going to watch that. Boom.
Nice.
Rocket. A lot of great stuff going on. And I think I suspect I'm going to want some escapism. In a couple weeks.
Why? What's happening in a couple weeks?
Or a week or so from now. Because some folks may remember last week or today, if we're talking real time.
Oh my gosh.
Texas governor decided.
Oh,
we can be done with masks.
I was actually just about to say that when you were talking about like COVID, like sets opening back up and COVID protocol and blah, blah, blah. And I was going to say, or if you were in Texas.
Yeah, he's decided, hey, shit. Hey, let's
can I just say like.
Just over. Poor, just like that. Just like
the poor
like,
people of Texas. They just weathered like all of these like power issues, water issues, all of that. And then get to the other side of that. And now masks off, free for all. It makes me very concerned for people. But
let's not pretend that they're not related.
I'm saying
people are going to be on us about this weather problems. What can we do to deflect that? Oh, let's just kill a bunch of people in Texas. Masks off. Oh, now people will be talking about that and won't be talking about our failed energy policies that we've been working on. Oh, I absolutely think it's a deflection because it's crazy, crazy move that you waited. We are almost to the 20 yard line, right? We're almost there, folks. We just got a few more, got two, like 3 more months, and we're gonna all have vaccines available. And you're like, how about now? Let's just do it now. What? My wife is from a little town in Roseburg, Oregon. That's where she grew up, right? They are now a level 1 lockdown again because. They opened the schools back up, and guess what happened? rapid, man, there's just rapid
so much
COVID.
Sad news. Did you hear it in where was it? The first day back to school, a kid got shot. Did you see that news story?
Well, no.
It's horrible.
But put good news in this Roseburg thing, a little proof positive about vaccines working.
Yeah.
A senior home, full of seniors, old folks home. Mm-hmm. 50%, almost exactly 50% of the people were vaccinated, and 50% opted out. They didn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
COVID hit.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who was vaccinated did not get anything.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who didn't has COVID, and a couple died.
Yeah, I'm not smiling about that. Yeah, because you're saying it with a big smile on your face.
But it means the vaccine's working, and that's exciting. Like, well, it's not many times you get this exact, like, 50-50 study. Is it going to work? And you're like, holy shit, it actually works. It held through.
Well, that's wonderful. I don't disagree that it's good to know that it's working. It was just the glee at which the 50% that didn't get it suffered repercussions.
You know what? It's the people. It's the story. The guy in the lake on the top of his house, and the flood comes in, and people keep stopping by trying to get him to take him away. He's like, "No, God will take care of me." Right, and then he gets to the pearly. He dies in the pearly gates, and says, God, I thought you were gonna take care of me. He's like, I sent you a boat, I sent a helicopter, I did all this to help you, and you didn't take any of it. Come on.
I know. I just like
that story.
I just don't feel like
I'm not glee at full of the day. I'm smiling because it worked.
I know.
And I'm excited.
I just like, you know, for people who might have reservations about it,
whatever. Just don't just do it and you'll be fine. And we can all go back to work. You know, it's never been like, I didn't realize how many people decided they think that they need to go back to work. I didn't know so many people would be adamant about going back to work. Or is it they want other people to go back to work?
I mean, how many people, though, that are adamant about going to work have to get back to work because they're not getting unemployment and they can't work from home?
Wait, huh?
I'm just saying
the ones who want to be, you think it's
no, I'm just saying, when you say you didn't know how many people are insisting they have to go back to work, and I'm just saying that, like, well, you know me, I don't like making these broad statements because it's like, how many of those people,
huge swath,
how many of those people have to go back to work because they can't work from home and they have no unemployment?
It's funny, mostly, you know, the people I hear screaming about we need to get back to work are employed and working. They're working from home or whatever. They're like, no, the people got to get back to work, man. I very few have seen people that are actually like a lot of the people I know that are unemployed or can't, well, they're like, dude, no, it's scary. I don't want to, we shouldn't have to work now. Like it sucks. Most people I hear screaming the loudest are working. And I think they're annoyed because they can't go get ice cream.
Well, yeah, I mean, because that's pretty, I mean, that's a whole other interesting thing too, because like, what's their work environment for them? You said they're already working. If they're working from home, then they want other people to work too, so they could go get their ice cream.
Yeah,
but like, really, it's safe for them and not for the ice cream person. Exactly. Now I want some ice cream, but I'll eat it at home, you know?
Yeah. I got ice cream out the other day because Willow, my daughter, had cavities.
Oh,
and so got a treat after because she was
positive
wonderful.
Reinforcement of more sugar.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But I was a little. We went Baskin Robbins, and it was like one of the first things I've eaten.
Yeah,
that's not heated.
Oh, like, out.
Out. Like, I mean, we took it and left. But
right.
Like it was,
right. No, I get. I get what you're saying.
Hot. Usually, I will say I have gotten sandwiches like three times at Jersey Mike's. Mm-hmm. But mostly, they seem really careful there and everything, so I've been fine with that. But mostly, I've only been getting hot food out places, a hot dish.
Yeah.
I don't want cold stuff.
Man, just a side note, though, I totally gave you crap about, like, giving her some sugar after those guys. Oh, you know what my dad used to do when I was little? Give me a Yoo-hoo after the dentist.
A Yoo-hoo.
I loved it.
Yoo-hoo.
I loved Yoo-hoo back Yoo-hoo. In the day. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember if I ever had one.
What?
I used to have Ovaltine.
I don't think I've ever had Ovaltine.
Ooh, that was something.
Yeah, like, I don't know how I would react to a Yoo-hoo now.
I don't think we're fancy enough to buy a Yoo-hoo.
I don't know we how to, I we would had to mix, react to that now.
We had to mix our own. Chocolate. It's just chocolate milk, right?
Mixing your own, you peasant.
Isn't it just chocolate milk?
It is, but like it's not.
With sugar?
I think it just has like, it probably has corn syrup and all sorts of stuff in it that, you know, probably shouldn't be drinking. But yeah. The consistency is different from what I remember than like a regular chocolate milk. Yeah. Anywho.
We don't yodel enough.
No, we really don't. We don't
yodel enough as a society.
We don't. We don't.
What happened?
We left Switzerland.
Do we just not have enough joy in this country? Is that the problem? That we can't?
Oh boy.
We can't yodel?
Joy? Enough joy in this country?
To why yodel? Would, like, why? Is it, what? In the history of our country, like we dropped yodeling real fast, right?
I didn't remember yodeling ever being an American thing.
I don't know. It hasn't. But isn't that a problem? We have people here from yodeling countries.
Uh-huh.
Why isn't yodeling is so joyful? Why would this not be picked up by more people? Like the hamburger spread, fine, right?
That's food though.
Yeah. Gonorrhea spread, fine.
That's also food though.
Gonorrhea is not food.
Isn't it for like bacteria or something? Well, doesn't it like eat off of?
Yeah, I don't think.
Disgusting, really. Wouldn't recommend it. Haven't experienced it and never want to try it. But you know.
But I mean, it comes from joy. It does. But like, I don't know. I just feel like if we yodeled more, it's like playing the banjo. You can't be angry, right?
I do banjo, like the banjo.
Ukulele. You can't be angry. You can't do an angry ukulele song. You can't do an angry banjo song.
You sure can.
There's no metal. There's no, Black Sabbath never played a ukulele.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying I think there's a way you could do it, but I agree. The instrument lends itself to happiness.
Because you can't help but smile while you're playing. So I don't know that you could be like I can't even think. I didn't listen to Nirvana and stuff, so I can't think of lyrics off the top of my head that are depressing.
Like, you could figure out a way to play it angrily. But the general energy of the instrument. The general instrument. I literally
don't think you can. We're going to have Kermit Appeal
on here. Yeah. If you stretch the string just so, there's a way. If you get it just taut enough, there's a way that you can play it to make it sound angry. Not the way it's supposed to be played.
Right. But
you can still get a sound out of it, I bet.
I don't know if you can get the low enough sound. Like,
oh, no, not low anger. It'd be high. High anger.
High? Can you
even be high? Yeah, like screeching on chalkboard angry? Oh, yeah.
Huh. I'll have to try it.
I don't recommend it. You'll probably hurt something. Most of all my ears, because the frequency that you'll have to get it to, for it to be angry, it's going to travel so far.
Angry. Oh, that's fascinating. did you watch the Globes, by the way?
No.
I thought you said you were into them.
No.
No?
Oh. No. Well, I think Christina touched on this too, like that. Just kind of out of the habit of watching award shows because normally, you know, having to work those hours. So, you know, now I don't have to work when the shows are on, but I'm just so used to not watching.
I don't usually have a Sunday show, but I guess I didn't work as much as you.
Did you say Sunday show? No, I'm talking about like when I was waitressing and stuff. I was working nights and weekends for so long. Heck yeah, Sunday nights. Yeah. Oh. Like off Monday, Tuesday, and then the rest of the night's working a lot of the times.
Yeah, I didn't.
And then class or shows or whatever the heck. Yeah.
what was it? The Golden Globe were, I think, Tina Fey and
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler should just do it from now on. I mean, it's their fourth one, and it's, they're just such likable people. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, it's so fun. They hosted it, and they're just, they're so wonderful, even if they weren't next to each other. Oh, I will tell you this. It was a lovely thing. I only cried once. And I didn't think I could get emotional in this.
But did you time yourself? just once, but it was only for 2 hours straight. But it was just once. Chadwick, just one sesh, man. One sesh.
Chadwick Boseman won.
Aww.
For Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And his wife gave the acceptance speech. And that ripped my heart out.
Wow.
Ripped it. Like, oh Lord. It was so, that was the rough.
Your shirt is quite bloodied.
Yeah. I didn't expect that to happen. I didn't even think about that. I don't think I'd ever seen his wife before. Lovely, beautiful woman, by the way.
You would think she would be lovely because he was such a lovely person.
Yeah. No, she was.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, so rough time for him. I know you're watching WandaVision, but
not caught up.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah.
But do you want, is Marvel the only superhero world you watch? Is it, or do you even not want, like, you're caught up? Is it only because of who you're with that you're watching it, or?
What a boy question.
No, what? No, I'm like, you know, I don't know.
No, I know what you're saying. I would say that there are certain movies that I saw in the theater because of who I was with, where if I were left to my own devices, I would have not seen it in the theater and I would have just watched it eventually. But that's not always like, depending on who I was dating, it would also be like a group of friends or like, you know, like if it's an event.
Yeah.
Or something. But I don't,
you know what it
pay,
is? You know,
I don't pay enough attention to know what cinematic universe I'm watching. I've never really paid attention. Spider-Man. I watch Spider-Man. I've watched so many Spider-Man movies. I enjoy them generally. Batman. I watch a lot of Batman movies. Like, these are things that I watch when I like, even when I'm, was young and single, like these are things that I would just watch regardless of if somebody was watching it with me or wanted to watch it. Superman, some of the Superman movies.
They're iffy.
Who else? X-Men. Like, I loved watching all the X-Men stuff. I know you're like, that's not even the same franchise.
They're just so iffy. Iffy.
Well, yeah. I mean, some movies I like better than others. Yeah. Some characters I like better than others as well. And what else should I, but you know, I mean, what? I'm not caught up on everything.
You know what's funny? The whole reason that I wasn't sure if you watched it is actually because you're a serious actor. And there's part of me that's like, serious actors shouldn't really, they don't watch this stuff, right?
Why not?
Because it is so, a lot of it is not, I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm not watching, well, it depends. For like the Avengers and stuff, I'm not watching it for great acting moments. And sometimes I get bored during Avenger movies because there's too much action and not enough plot for me, like not enough like character interaction. But it depends. That's not all the Avenger movies. It's just like I found that to be with some of them where I'm like, oh, they know I care about these characters. So now there's like so many storylines and I'm not really invested in anybody, but I'm supposed to care because they know I care about these characters, you know? But I think that's one of the reasons why I liked a lot of the Spider-Man movies is because a lot of them,
independent.
I felt like, huh?
Independent? That they're independent on?
Independent?
Well, they're not dependent on other movies. They're kind of...
Yeah, I guess so. And I feel like they spent, like, you know, a bit of time talking about, like, who Peter Parker was and what he wanted, like, what his struggles were. And, like, there was this, like, personal, you know, there's, like, this
every single time
development and, you know.
That's
but it's also...
hey, let's
like, let's do, I don't, I'm just, I'm just, ba- I'm just, story. I'm just going on and on now. But it's like, you know, the Batman, like, I think I told you, right? The, when the third Batman came out, I watched all three of the Christopher Nolan Dark Knight.
Yeah.
No, when that series came out, like when the third one came out, like we went to the, well, Max and I, we went to the theaters and we watched all three, like the same sitting. That was something I would have wanted to do anyway, because I loved that series, but the third movie I did not love.
No.
And then I kind of slightly ruined it for him because I was talking over him to his friend about all of the things I didn't love about, like, trying to be, well, trying to be quiet about it, but I just couldn't contain myself. Because I loved the, like, my hopes were so high because the first one, the first two were so good. And the third one, I was just such a letdown for me that I just couldn't contain my,
you can contain it.
I couldn't. No,
you can hold.
You know what? I'm back. Blacker than you then, because sometimes I do talk to the TV. I talk to the TV a lot.
I mean, when I'm at the theater,
though,
disappearing on the video.
Yeah, no. When I'm at the theater, I don't. I'm very respectful. But for that movie, also it was like how many hours? It was already like there for 7 hours. So by the time the third one came. It's like defenses are down a bit. Ooh. And just like quietly words coming out.
That long in a theater. I don't know.
It was awesome. It really was like for something you're really into, getting to see all of them glorious. In one epic thing was so,
like, go see Lord of the Rings or something.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny? I tried rewatching Lord of the Rings and I just couldn't. I saw him so many times years ago.
Yeah.
But I tried watching him again during, you know, a couple weeks ago, and I was just like, couldn't get through it. Yeah. I think because I knew the story too much that then I wasn't invested during like the parts where there's not story and they're just like ugly ass orcs fighting. I just like, I can't, no. Bless their hearts. They don't have any. They got ripped out when they heard the acceptance speech. But
I wanted to ask you, did you hear about the Dr. Seuss controversy?
Since when?
Today.
Wait, what controversy? Well,
there's six Dr. Seuss books
only
are not going to be published anymore. They've said we're not going to publish these.
Which ones?
Ones like I heard it on Mulberry Street, and another, like, there's a few that I forgot completely.
Okay,
about.
I never heard of that.
There's
one.
There's two of them. There's a thing. There's a reason you haven't heard of it. Because they were, so they're being, people saying, oh, they're canceling Dr. Seuss. Like, no, you're still going to get Green Eggs and Ham. You're going to get these others. But there are six of them. Oh, boy. Yeah, they were not very, they were a little bit racist.
I heard that.
And in the, if you look at the cartoons in particular. And the thing is, like, so 15 years ago, I was in charge of putting together this school assembly for the high school that I was working with to create with the drama program. So we were going to do a school assembly celebrating Dr. Seuss on his birthday. And so I had bought this collection of, like, this anthology of Dr. Seuss books all in one book. It was huge. It was like $30. And I was like, oh my God, I'm spending so much money. This is, there were two that we did. I wanted to do some of the unknown stuff. I thought it was interesting. But there was, we had to edit it because there's a couple things in the way he talked about Asian people that were like, no, we can't say this.
Was it like old school Peter Pan, huh? Disney Peter Pan cartoon.
Yeah, it could be. There's definitely some sort of.
No, like, I'm not saying it makes it right. That's what I was imagining when you said that.
I had heard
that about Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, but he was probably racist when he started, but he also definitely, there's a change in his stuff because my understanding is he started hearing stories and started learning and stuff and was like, well, he woke up and started doing stuff that was anti-racism, anti-fascism, anti-stuff. So as he went on.
If that is, if that's accurate, that's pretty cool. Not that I doubt your accuracy.
Well, it's just a story.
I've never heard that before today,
but
so yeah.
I mean, he definitely, because somebody said, "Oh, was he like a Nazi sympathizer?" I was like, "Ah, if he was, he changed, because Yertle the Turtle is all about Hitler, obviously, and it's not flattering about Yertle. Very anti-Hitler in the Yertle the Turtle." Saga. And Horn Hears a Who is supposedly about internment camps. I believe.
I was never really big into Dr. Seuss, so it's not really
big.
I wasn't like,
is anyone big on it?
Like, some people are fans. I think the reason I cared the most for Dr. Seuss was probably just because friends gave me like a Dr. Seuss book. Once
I'm about to give you so many
as a sentimental thing, and I was just like, "Aw, that's probably the most I've ever cared
the
about."
Places
him.
You'll go,
yeah, they did.
You know what?
It was
kids,
real sweet.
The kids love them so much because the repetition is so good that they can, and there's a rhythm when you read it, and it's so.
I never read them growing up,
right? But you know, you can change things, so break that cycle,
huh? No, I'm just saying there's so many other books. Like I never read them when I was little. I didn't care for them when I was little. You know.
I don't think you can not. I think if they're not read to you, that's one thing. But I think there's something about them. You can no kid turns down a
yes.
Dr. Seuss. No kid goes, no 3-year-old's like, no, not Dr. Seuss. I'm beyond him. Bring me some Shakespeare.
That was me.
No.
It wasn't Shakespeare, though. It was like Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, the Berenstain Bears, yeah.
Yeah, I love them. But Dr. Seuss didn't care.
You got to get a like, 2-year-old left foot, right, and right foot, right.
No,
feet
thanks.
In the day, feet in the night. Have you heard that walking in the pocket? Rap?
The what?
The what rap for walk... Walk it in my pocket. I'm gonna send this to you.
I don't think I have. What's that from?
A awesome walk in my pocket is a Dr. Seuss, but this rapper did it. And walk it in my pocket. Rap. There's a walk in my pocket. Yeah, I'm gonna send this to you.
Did you watch SNL this past weekend?
No.
Man, one of the songs they did on that was so hilarious.
Oh, wait. I can share that. This is not copy. Can you hear?
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Seuss. Hey. Here we go. Walk it in my pocket. Huh? Walk it in my pocket.
Okay.
Walk it in my pocket. Walk it in my pocket. Walk it in my pocket. Walk it in my pocket.
Seuss.
In my pocket. Seuss. Walk it in my pocket. Did you ever have a feeling? There's a basket in your basket. Or a neural in your bureau. Or a closet in your closet. Sometimes I feel quite certain.
Okay. You'll have to check it out later because you got to see the video.
Yeah.
It's hilarious watching with the video and hearing it. And
I think seeing the music video would be funny. Yeah.
I was never able to read that again without the rhyme in my head.
Yeah.
It's in my pocket. That's so
nice how happy you are over it. Look at you experiencing joy.
You know what? But that and the Natalie Portman rap.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know what? This, like, YouTube knows me, man. Because then it's like, oh, when the A cappella group already has one black guy from Key and Peele shows up, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Vaguely.
Guy walks in to join the a cappella group, and there's a black guy going, doo-wop-ba-ba-ba-ba. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think, yeah. Do you remember the Threw It on the Ground video? I think I talked about this on the podcast a while ago. What? Yeah. It's a Lonely Island one. Oh, wait. I think, or maybe it's not Lonely Island. Maybe it was, but it had it was Andy Samberg. SNL.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh man, that one never gets old, man. Makes me laugh so hard.
I think that's what I should make a list of. The list of things that just bring me joy, like video clips, like short clips that just the ultimate, I don't know what you would call them, the ultimate joy, fun pack.
Make the name really long. Ultimate joy, fun pack, happiness extravaganza. Turn that frown upside down. Lock it in your pocket soundtrack.
It's so funny because like I don't watch movies repeatedly anymore.
Uh-huh.
Like, I mean, other than Star Wars. I was talking earlier, I was on another podcast, Mind the Gap. The Mind the Gap podcast. We were talking about movies and stuff. And I mentioned like the movies I mark as my favorite movies are not the movies I watch over and over again.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, I love that. This is one of my favorite. I don't think I'm going to watch it again. But
right.
Like, because like I don't put Star Wars as a favorite movie.
What? It's
one I watch all the time.
I'm surprised that you wouldn't have said that was one of your favorites. Because
I know it's not like, I mean, if I'm going to be left on an island, that's one of my movies. But like, I like these, I don't know where to put these dramas where I'm like, I know that Mark Hamill's a bad actor, right? So it's like, in Star Wars, in A New Hope, right? So I'm like, no, I can't say that it's like the best. So, but when I think about like favorites, I'm like, oh, it's got to be a really like good movie.
Well, I think that's why it's called your favorite, you know, not like a movie that you think is the best, but it's something that you really enjoy.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a different list.
Mm hmm.
I don't know. When I say favorite, I'm always thinking like, oh, it's got to be like a great movie. So I have my list of great movies, and then I have the list of movies I'll watch again. Because I don't know what makes me watch a movie again.
I guess
I don't know.
I don't know. I think of ones that are like, oh, go ahead.
I rewatch horrible movies. Like, it is so bad. Like, I will watch that again.
I think like any movie that I've considered my favorite movie has been a movie that I've rewatched. Critically acclaimed or not.
I can't tell people that The Core is my favorite movie. That's not a favorite movie.
The what?
If it was gone, I wouldn't care. The Core.
I don't know what that is.
The Core starring Hilary Swank. Oh. It's a It's about the Earth. It's something's going wrong, right? The Earth is going to die. They figure out it's because the core stopped moving. And they need a way to get down to the center of the Earth and get the core moving again.
Oh, I think you told me about that.
Yeah. And so they build a ship that can travel through stone, right? What kind of cuts, kind of whatever. But because of it, it gets stronger. The harder, the denser the Earth is around it, it gets strong. It's a ridiculous, bad film. But if it's on TV when I'm going through, I will stop and watch it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
That and The Day After Tomorrow. Horrible. No. No, I won't watch all of that one. I will watch all of 2012, though.
Tomorrow
is really good, though. I think I might have that on DVD or on Blu-ray. 2012, horrible. Oh, my God. I love disaster films to watch. Yeah. Films that I love are different than my favorites. That's where I'm different. That's how Silas is special.
Mm-hmm.
I take one word and it's completely different. No. Films that I love can be awful films that I'm like, I'm happily ashamed of these films. Happily ashamed. And then there's comedies that I'm like, oh, I like it. I'll watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But there's some, and then there's, I think there's some I have to retire or something. Like, I got to retire this film because I can't, like it used to be a favorite comedy, but then I watched it again. And oh no.
Like which one?
Like, I think like a Caddyshack doesn't hold up well.
Mm.
Nope. It's not a very woke film. Mm. It's a lot of misogyny. Mm-hmm. But it's what I grew up on. I grew up on misogyny. I'm a Gen Xer. That's all the films that we saw. And now I watch and go, oh no, not sharing this one with the teen.
Yeah. That's true. Like the number of films I saw were like women were like the man was either mean to them or standoffish or he was a fixer upper or, you know, any number of, I'm just like, nope. But
he was a fixer upper.
Huh?
He was the fixer upper.
Yeah. Like a lot of times, you know, I feel like they'd make a lot of movies where like the woman was there to be like emotionally support the guy and help him get over his issues or like just be just so helpful and not do her own thing. I think that's a reason why a lot of the times when I would think of the careers that I wanted, like they were all guys. Like I identified a lot more with some of the male characters.
Because all the movies back in the day were, yeah.
I mean, now it's different. Man. Now, you know. I mean, it's not completely different, but there's a lot more variety and a lot more like women doing their own thing.
They're like, I want to be a princess now. I want to be a princess.
Now princesses have been around.
Be a female princess. There is, yeah, like, you know, like I had no, you know, until Hidden Figures came out, I didn't know that there were women working for NASA in the 50s, let alone black women.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know. And I still think this is a story to tell. Got to find them before they die. I remember I did a Lyft ride for an old woman, 90 something. And she was a military police officer in the World War II guarding code breakers in Washington.
Yeah, that's a story.
Code breakers, all female on this base. She knew they were down below the ground a few stories. She didn't know exactly where, but she was there guarding. First, I was like, a female military police in that era? I didn't even know that they did that. Yeah. But then also that they were they would get mathematicians to be code breakers, and so a lot of women, and it was just like I didn't know this existed.
Yeah, me neither. It's interesting.
I was like fascinated by this. Like 90-year-olds have some fascinating stories.
Yep,
they're all going away, and you're gonna like, oh, we gotta tell these stories have to be told. Tell the story, Grandma. We're about out of time. This zipped by.
What?
This zipped by for me. This hour.
Yep.
There's so much going on in the world.
Yeah, I just saw another John Oliver, which was just another reminder that, like, when I can... To like recommit to like
recycling,
giving up meat or at least eating as little meat as possible. I mean, I obviously can't give it up right now, but
we have a mutual friend who said they're going to go vegetarian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but it's something that I've tried it a few different times in my life. I did not.
I
did not stick with it, but generally, like, I try not to eat very much meat. So, it was just more horrifying stories. And I'm just like, man, I just,
Beyond Meat, Tattooed Chef. I got stock in that, disclaimer, but you should try that. Supposedly really good.
I heard that Beyond Meat actually isn't that good for you. Again, this is hearsay. Gotta check it out.
What's good for me?
Organic vegetables.
plant-based.
Fresh fruit.
Plant-based. You know, the problem is actually I've being vegetarian, I can't lose weight as a vegetarian. I eat way too many calories when the foods I end up eating are just way worse for me.
Oh, well, yeah, it's probably getting accustomed to what to eat instead that'll fill you up.
Yeah, well, it's more to keep the energy going.
Mm-hmm.
Finding ways to get protein in that are long lasting.
Do you eat like lots of like whole grains, like brown rice and stuff like that?
I hate brown rice.
Oh,
brown rice.
Because like, yeah, brown rice is way more filling than white rice.
It's disgusting too. I just won't eat rice. I'm like, fuck rice.
Ugh, I eat rice.
Yeah, I love rice. White rice.
Brown
rice. Ugh.
I grew up eating brown rice, so I'm used to it.
Phew.
But somebody isn't and always insists on white rice, so I always eat white rice because that's what's being made now. But I need to just start making my own rice, so I eat more brown rice.
I know what you're talking about. It's not Japanese, but where I have a lot of rice is Japanese, like sushi, right, and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't see brown rice there unless it's fucking Californians wanting it.
Yeah.
So I don't think brown rice is meant for a lot of the dishes. I don't know why. I just think of California trying to be ultra healthy eating the brown rice. And it's like, you know what's better? Just don't eat rice if you're trying to be healthy. Bring it. Grains aren't even that good for us. We shouldn't eat meat because of what it's doing to the planet. We were built for meat. That's the predicament. Our bodies were built for meat, but it's not good for the planet.
Well, I'm not a nutritionist. No, I don't think that grains are bad for people. I think that the way that grains are being processed now, it's all that other stuff that in, and it's not things not being balanced and all of that. But people have been eating grains for a long, long time.
But grains but I also think that, are all processed.
But differently now, too.
Yeah. They're like, well, but they're inflammatories in the body.
But even whole grains?
Whole grains.
Because I think whole grains are.
Pretty sure they're inflammatory.
Mm-hmm. Well, gluten whole grains are good for you.
Huh?
I think whole grains are good for
you and bad for you.
Like, I want to look up if brown rice is. Because meat will inflame you.
Will it?
Yeah, I think so. It's acidic, right? If you look at the alkaline versus acidic, like if you're looking at that food chart. No,
that was a dad joke.
I still don't get it.
Inflammatory because it's
inflammatory. Oh, because I was hearing acidic and I was like, huh? Oh, I get it. The inflammatory part. I get the dad joke. Thank you for the dad joke. I feel my life has been enriched. If you're listening to the podcast, not watching it, you could probably see just how sincere I was by the enrichment on my life.
I should have a weekly dad joke for you.
You should. I got way too excited about that. I will take jokes. Thank you.
Okay. We'll see you next week.
What a sad note to leave that on.
Live long and prosper.